Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Liner to Left. With me, as always, Leah Chocolis, Ian Kist, and I am Delempo. Guys, it was another week of they only got two games in, but we got a lot to cover. So they played, if I would have my stats, Mount St. Mary's. They won the first game 5-2, but lost the second game 3-1. And interestingly enough, the first game, both teams had errors, but RMU came on top. But the interesting part was, second game, Mount St. Mary's had two errors, RMU lost. Mind blown a little bit? I must say. But we'll just focus on the first game first. So RMU got the lead in the first inning with three runs, and Kaylin Elsley was pitching. She actually pitched both games. And she seems to be pitching a lot. Her record now is 4-6. I mean, not a terrible record, but not the best you would want.
Well, she's their ace, and she's gonna pitch conference games. I can't get the live stats of who started the first game. Today against St. Bonaventure at home. Yes, at home. It was not postponed. They're winning the second game now, or losing the second game now, 1-0, but they won the first game, I believe 7-6. But I don't, like, I would imagine Kaylin Elsey would only be in relief in those games due to keeping her for conference games right now, because this is just a benefit of having, you know, non-conference game in the middle of conference play right now, because you assume she goes at LIU Brooklyn both games this weekend, on Saturday, and then April 15th, Sunday, you'll throw in somebody else, maybe Madison Riggle, maybe Lacey Collins and Laura Coulter. I imagine Laura Coulter got some action today. She may have even started a game. Definitely keep, you know, Kaylin Elsey and Madison Riggle for conference play. You also have Lacey Collins, who probably sees some time today as well in his non-conference games.
Yeah, but they're actually playing right now. They're playing the doubleheader against the Mount. The Bonnies. And who is pitching? So they're up to bat right now, but interesting. So they went through the whole entire lineup already. It's the third inning. Now they need to really hone down and pick the pitches they want. It's a 2-2 count against. Gotta refresh my laptop. That would help. I said this to Leah before the show. I'm like, I gotta refresh my laptop because the live stats.
Our culture's pitching.
Yeah. Well.
For the Colonials.
And she's actually doing fairly well, even though she had a few hits against her. But the Colonials seem to be bouncing back. Their offense has been productive to a point. But I would like to see them a little bit more engaged in the game. I mean, they're obviously getting on base, but they keep on hitting it to the team, and that's not a productive at bat. But now they have a runner on first and with one out. So they need to make something happen. And I know in the first inning, a couple of them struck out looking and just not being very efficient at the plate. But that's college softball sometimes. But going back to the first game of the doubleheader, they worked as well as a team, and little to no errors. Obviously the first they had one error, but very well using, they advance on wild pitches, they use sacrifice bunts, and that's what you want to see when you want to get into conference play. You want to use more of the tools, not just using, you just don't want to hit. You want to manipulate the field a little bit more, especially with a much softer field, like how the fields would be now because of the rain and now that all the snow is thawed, and now that they can actually have playable conditions and not just be on the turf practicing, that they actually get game time. Going into later in the conference and later in conference when they play conference and non-conference teams, they can actually be able to stand a chance instead of just being like getting used to one type of field. They can get used to turf, dirt, and other like special types of fields that other colleges may have.
But becoming like more diverse within their fields.
Yeah, but the coolest thing about the Colonials, they never seem to want to give up. Like they always seem to fight through the bad parts of the game when runs are given up, errors happen, and
I think they're slowly coming together.
Yes, I think they are slowly, they're starting to find their groove.
Here's also another thing to bring up, which is interesting as I look at the NEC standings right now. So, Robert Morris and St. Francis, PA, have played the least amount of conference games with two. And then you have Central Connecticut, who's in third place, and they've played 8 games within the conference. They're 5-3, which puts them in third place. Sacred Heart, 4, and St. Francis, obviously, they're undefeated, so they get, even though they only played 2 games, they are in first place. So, the Colonials have seen themselves, not their fault, that's not their fault at all due to the weather, but you're going to start playing teams that have a good chunk of conference games already, especially Central Connecticut, who's played 8. I got to see when they're on their rot, when they play them. I don't think it's for like a little...
They don't play Central Connecticut until the 22nd.
So 2 Sundays from this Sunday. I mean, you have LIU Brooklyn, who's played, 5 games already compared to 2. So they're going to, these teams are already trying to, figure out their role, their role with how they're going to attack conference play. So you can see the Colonials, I don't think St. Francis is going to have much of a problem because they're the powerhouse in the conference with the 19-16 overall record. It's interesting to see how these teams have gotten time in already in conference play, and the Colonials and St. Francis are only with 2, and that could play, a difference maker for the Colonials right now. They didn't play for a while. Luckily, they're playing Wednesday, so they don't have to wait a whole week, 8 days to play their next set of conference games. So that's something that sticks out to me as nothing they could do about it due to the weather, but something that, I find interesting.
That is definitely interesting. And I was looking at their up-and-coming schedule, and I noticed that when it comes to the end of April, the beginning of May, they start, just cranking down their games. I mean, they have, 3 games. They eventually have, 6 or 7 games in a week and a half span. And that could play a role into them being fatigued, tired, and not being in shape enough to win the necessary NEC games, which can really hurt them in the tournament because they need to be able to be a higher seed to get a better chance of getting the title.
And there is an update in the current game. RMU is tied it at 1. I'm trying to find out how.
It was a walk.
Take it as you get it.
I take
any RBI you can get.
Take a walk, man. That's what
load up the bases, and the bases are loaded right now.
There's still only 1 out.
So yeah, I mean,
this is very
little trouble for St. Bonaventure pitching right now. But I mean, take a walk. If you can get a good hit here, go up 3-1. Even clear the bases. This is when the bats gonna come out. I mean, this is your opportunity. You should want to come up to the swing aggressive, not too aggressive. You want to make sure you take the pitches you can hit and get a hit out of. But this is, keep an eye on this situation. Only with 1 out, go up there and see, get this Colonials offense. They've been rolling, Friday's games against Mount St. Mary's. six hits, seven hits. They put up seven runs, you know, a couple hours ago in the first game against the Bonnie. So the bats are there. It's a big, this is a big crucial situation to see if they can continue their, wouldn't say offensive surge, but some more productive offense.
It's the clutch hitting that they need. They need to have that clutch hit when they need it. And you also, honestly, you need the clutch takings as well, as we saw as, I don't know who walked home, but taking, being able to take the pitches and be able to, it was number 13, Miller, who took the ball, took the walk, and got an RBI out of it. Like, take it as you get it, either by a pass ball, walk, any way you can get it, especially in the beginning stages of conference. And actually, like, the pitching staff for St. Barnaventure is actually in pretty big trouble. She has a 3-1 count, one out, bases are still loaded. So she could potentially walk in another run. And by my guess, if she walks in another run, either they will pull her, which I'm assuming they will, but what do I know? I'm not their pitching coach. But they'll either go out to the mound, have a little conversation with her, calm her down, because she's not hitting, like, not hitting her strike zone. She's getting behind. And honestly, getting behind a batter is very stressful for a pitcher, especially when you, especially if the umpire doesn't have a very wide strike zone, mm-hmm. which to me, he has a reasonable strike zone. It's just what you pit, where your spot is, and if you don't hit it the right way.
We have an update. It is now 2-1 RMU.
Yes. Let's, they keep this up. I mean, this is very this is a very good bright spot for the Colonials.
Was it another walk?
Mm-hmm. Two walks in a row to walk in the two runs. So RMU has scored both their runs off of walks. Unearned runs against the
Borisevich.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna try that. I'm looking at the live stats, I'm like, I was not gonna try that. No, but this is a good sign for RMU. They're not the home run power hitting team as they, I remember vaguely they were at times, but they're not the total package of hitting triples, doubles every 2 seconds. They're more of take their pitches and then having the little lucky base hits, like that squiggle up the line and you get in safe.
Colonials are able to tag on another one. That doesn't say, play-by-play is not working. But they do have four hits. The bases are still loaded. So the Colonials, who only had one hit, compared to St. Bonaventure's four, they're now tied in that category. So that's, you know, the crucial hitting there, D, is, looking to show. I mean, it looks like Borisevich in the circle for St. Bonaventure, and I was a little wild as she, you know, having two walks in.
And then a base hit. It was a base hit down the third baseline that went right past the third baseman's glove and just squeaked right through the infield. Looks like the pitching coach or the coach for St. Bonaventure is coming out to talk to the pitcher and the catcher, see what happens if we're going to get a pitching change or she's actually going to stay in the game, which I mean, if they have enough trust in her, they will, but it's, especially if you're still one out, bottom of the third inning, and you're down by two now instead of winning by one.
And whatever the Colonials are doing, they have to keep it up. They can't play well and then be like, oh, we have a lead, and then
yeah, they can't
drop,
just
which lead. We've seen them do. Yeah. In conference play, they've held, you know, leads like this, you know, midway mm-hmm. through the game, you fight back, you take the lead. And then they blow it in the seventh inning. So that is a crucial, good point to bring up there, that, you know, they have to keep, you know, pitching, I think it's key in this situation for them. You know, they have the runs, but let's see if Lauren Coulter is able to, you know, keep things going. Right now, she gave up four hits, but only one run on those four hits, as you look at four hits, and St. Bonaventure's giving up three, vice versa. So I think it's, you know, crucial to keep an eye on that. You got the lead, now let's go and finish it defensively as well.
Yeah, you have to stay consistent and not get overly confident.
Yeah, the worst thing to do as a player is to, like, basically just sit on your heels and be like, okay, we got a lead. Now we just basically sit back and not keep your foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And they did leave the same Bonaventure pitcher in, and she currently has two strikes on. Who's up to bat right now?
Looks like Caitlin Bartlow. Whoever number two is, I don't think it's her.
No, it's number 28. I just don't. Goonie?
It's number two is up right now.
Really? Oh. I don't know why my life sensor is telling me wrong.
Yeah, it says 28, but the jersey says two.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but. Alright. So, now they have two outs. Who was up again? I forget. No, but a strikeout against RMU.
Oh, wait, 4-1.
Well, when did that happen?
Tyler Dennis with 4-1 RMU.
What?
Okay, so these live updates are not live.
So it's really funny.
And now,
now it's 4-1?
It's 28. Richard Gagne is up.
Oh. See, my live, the live stream I'm watching.
There's,
and,
oh, pass ball. Now it's 4-1.
Okay, I'm behind.
So, you're ahead. This is behind.
Yeah, so.
The video.
Yeah, the video.
It's TV, so it's a delay. It's a stream.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
No wonder why.
So that's how they got it. Okay.
Okay, we're 4-1.
Wild pitch.
4-1.
Yes.
Wild pitch. Actually, it wasn't even
pass
close.
Ball or wild
pitch.
Yeah,
that was 28.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Two's not even on the roster,
no,
so.
That's why I was confused about that.
They may have different jersey numbers for different uniforms they wear.
Do they have
the
I'm going to investigate this because I don't know. Yeah, they don't have a two. That must have been like an add-on or her one uniform must have ripped or something like that.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a very good inning for the Colonials. They have taken their pitches, taking good swings, and just take advantage of every opportunity that St. Bonaventure has given them. Taking the walks, but also going on a wild pitch, especially if it's in the dirt and it just bounces right off the catcher's equipment.
Yeah, like I don't want to say, oh, it was the weather that made them play bad, but it is nice and sunny out, and they're playing pretty well.
I mean, the weather does have an effect on players. Trust me, I've seen players that have actually, like, not been able to do, like, when it's raining, you can't grip the ball. When it's cold, you can't feel your fingertips.
Yeah.
But then, like, not saying that's an excuse or anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But now the bases are loaded again because now another Colonial was walked.
Oh, Kristen Perry's up to bat now.
I mean, if Sam Bonaventure wants to get back on the dugout, they have to, like, rethink their game plan because
mm-hmm.
I mean, my assumption is they came out, like, this beginning of this inning, like, we're leading by one. I can just shut them down. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The Colonial said, nope. You thought. But that's what I love about this game. Like, you can't really, like, assume that anything's going to happen because you never know what's going to happen. Like, you could lose by a walk-off walk. Those are terrible. You could lose by a pass ball, or you can even lose by just getting smacked out of the field.
Kristen Prey ground ball to third base gets St. Bonaventure out of the inning.
I mean, why did
5-1?
That was a very productive inning. That's still 4-1. I don't know why they changed it.
Oh.
Now, because they
just.
Yeah. I think the reason, like, they, probably the people that are running the scoreboard thought that, oh, the run that got home must have counted. Okay. But no, it's
still 4-1.
Actually, how that works is you have to at least have, like, you have to actually touch the plate before the play ends. Okay. So, like, if you slide into home and then the other team throws the ball to third and you get tagged out, the run still counts, but you basically got to the inning, but you still get the run. Which is a nice rule
in a way.
Yes. But while they're in a commercial break, let's break down the other games that they played. I mean, they only played Mount St. Mary's this week, but they obviously seem to be getting their footing in the early part of conference play, which is very good sight to see. I mean, they weren't looking too hot in tournaments in the preseason. No, I mean, I wrote an opinion piece right before the season started, and I compared last season to this season. I mean, they didn't have a better, they had a, how do I want to put this? They didn't have a good enough stats like they did last season, because they did lose a little bit of power from last year, and they were just a very young team. Not that it's an excuse, but those are things that you should be building on as a team. Especially because you have 3 or 4 pitchers, especially now that they're juniors. You have only one freshman, and you have basically all upperclassmen. So losing a lot and having a 5-20 record, that kills you.
And then heading into Saturday's matchup at LIU Brooklyn, they're 2-3 in 7th place in the conference. They only played one game against Wagner. It was supposed to be a doubleheader, but like the second game was game 2 was suspended. So they won that 7-6 and then battled Bryant 9-8 and lost 5-1 to 1-9-8 and then lost. CCSU beat them 9-0, 9-0 and 14-5. So offensively and defensively struggle game for there, but they have been able to put up some runs, that being LAU Brooklyn. So I think LAU Brooklyn always is kind of a dogfight for the last year, at least it was. It was a split. Army won the first game, lost the second. Lost the first game, won the second game, and it was two completely different teams I saw at that game for the Colonials. So definitely you got to take advantage of the teams that are low in the conference right now, but also play 5 games against 2 in the conference right now. So that's something to keep. Like I said earlier in the show, something to keep an eye on. Because, you know, CCSU is, you know, 3rd, so not a good showing by LA Brooklyn against them. And you play Wagner, who's an 8th right below them. So, you know, them getting the win, naturally, it looks like LA Brooklyn's going to, you know, get that win. And then you have Bryant, who's tied for 4th with RMU, as well as Fairleigh Dickinson. So, looks like they're going to beat the teams that are worse than them. So this is a good weekend. This, I think, needs to be a sweep. And the Colonials need to, you know, jump out ahead in conference play 3-1. I think that's good moving forward, as they will be headed to, as they will then have, you know, Sacred Heart, who is, I believe, in 2nd place. Yeah, 3-1. They have the best non-conference record or overall record at 19-14. And then you have another Wednesday non-conference, 2 non-conference games against Sacred Heart.
Well, so they actually play Youngstown State.
Or Youngstown State, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so they basically go on a, basically, including today, they go on a four basically weeks stand of doubleheaders. They have today.
Oh, yeah.
They have the 14th as a doubleheader, and then
every game's doubleheader, yeah.
Yeah, so that, especially like they travel to LIU Brooklyn, and then the next day they go to Sacred Heart. Now that is a 3-hour drive, especially after playing a doubleheader. You're tired, you're sore, but then going back and playing even more, that can take a toll on the players. They are really going to have to delegate who plays, is making sure everybody's okay, and raise it loose, nice and loose, and not making sure nobody's going to tear anything, nobody's going to. Basically, everybody needs to be healthy so they can get through the season. Because especially with the weather, they basically have to clump all the games together. And clumping all the games together really takes a toll. Especially, like, we're heading into we're heading closer to finals week. Mm-hmm. Especially, mm-hmm. I don't know how. I know I'm very stressed with finals week, but I don't know how stressed they are.
Luckily for them, they don't play on finals week. So,
I mean, that's
like their vacation.
Yeah.
Which is a relief.
So,
yeah, they get off the entire week. They basically...
They're not allowed to play.
Yeah.
No,
I mean...
Yeah, no college team plays on their finals week. But yeah, but that's also a way that helps them. I think that helps you. Now, this week, focus on your studies. Then it's go time. Mm-hmm. Let's finish all conference play and go to the tournament.
Yeah. And... They actually have like an entire weekend of like the 21st and the 22nd. They play four games. They play Bryant and Central Connecticut, and then they have the entire week off for finals week. And then they go to Staten Island, New York, to go play Wagner. And then 3 days later, they go to Canisius to play Canisius in Buffalo. So the way these games are like away, home, away, and like that breaks it up a little bit, but. Like, this is crunch time, especially, I mean, every college player that has finals are very stressed, just in general, but especially adding this on, I don't know how they do it. But an update on the game, it's the top of the fourth inning, one out, and a runner on first and second, it's a new batter, and we actually have a pinch runner coming in.
And Madison Riddle is also in the game, in the circle for replacing Lauren Colt.
Now, do you think that's a good move or a bad move?
I mean, I think it's, you know, she I don't know if Madison started this inning and Coulter got in a jam and they decided to go with a different arm. It looks like, by the way, you know, the body language is on the field with Madison right now. I think she started this inning.
Yeah, I think I think she did start the inning.
I think it's just... Non-conference, so you're going to try to get different arms, stay loose. And I think it's, you know, show the batters different pitchers. I mean, Laura didn't have a terrible day. It's a good day for her. One, only giving up one run, four hits. We've seen her struggle a little bit, but you know, she needs to come in the form heading, and that's going to score a St. Bonaventure run. Or it was a foul ball, never mind.
Yeah, that looked really good off the bat. It was a hot shot. It was a liner to left.
It was. So, yeah, I mean, this
sorry.
Is a
little name pun.
I think it's you know, Coach Craig Coleman, just the strategic move of just, you know, trying to get different arms in there, trying to get different pitchers, you know, action. Because, like you said, it's going to be the Caitlin Elzey show at conference play, but obviously you can't have her pitch four straight games. That would be incredible if she could, you know, this weekend with a double four games.
That would just kill her arm, though.
So she'd probably start Saturday, and then, you know, I would see, you know, maybe Laura start, and you can, you know, they can always, the Colonials can attack the second day, you know, that Sunday, day two and four game weekends. Especially on the road, doing all the traveling, that's going to load the bases. Infield hit the left there for St. Bonaventure, loads the bases with
one out.
So, it's going to be interesting to see the Colonials attack this weekend, pitching. You know, you can even see maybe Caitlin even pitch a little bit in the second one of the two games the next day. But, yeah, I think the offense is getting there for the Colonials. I think it's going to be, you know, the kryptonite is the pitching right now. I think, you know, Lauren Colter and Lacey Collins and Caitlin Elzey, you don't worry much about Elzey, but, you know, with Lacey and Laura, they're they're juniors, so I would, you know, personally, I like to see them more in a form of pitching like juniors, but I think it's just, you know, trying to see what works. If you have to use multiple pitchers to get out of this weekend, I think you do that. And I think if the Colonials can hone down on their pitching, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and that's exactly true, and I completely agree with you. And
the Colonials avoid giving up a run, as it was.
Oh, they almost got
They almost got double play through the home, got the lead runner out at home, which is key. Bases are still loaded, but now it's a different situation with two outs.
And that would have been a very
dangerous.
That would have been a major momentum killer for St. Bonaventure if they would have got that double play. Between having one out and bases loaded and then getting a double play to get out of it, that's a huge momentum killer. But also, that's a big, like, proud moment for the Colonials because they are able to get out of jams.
They didn't rush that. I mean, it's going to be tough to get a double play out of that, but they knew to go home. It could have looked like, you know, she didn't rush it. She could have tried to step on third and threw it to home, but she didn't rush it. She got the lead runner out, the important runner out, and then now, you know, you could mess that up and you could try to rush it and
you could throw the ball away. But
and they give up a run right there as 4-2. Maybe a little bobble at shortstop and the throw was late the first. But yeah, back to that play, I mean, to me, you know, you could have rushed that and you could have given up a run. Now they would be down 4-3. So, you know, I think a heads up play by, looks like it was Taylor Bartlow playing third base for the Colonials in the second game here. So to me, that's a good play that, you know, when it comes in, you know, crucial times in conference games, gotta have to make.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, the simple, easy plays that, like, the grounder, like, you get a grounder and you just plop it over to second or first. Like, those are the easy plays that should come naturally to you. And those are the ones that you, like, will cause the most damage because you don't think, like, oh, I've done this hundreds of times. I don't really need to, like, I have so many other things to think about, but you don't think about those simplest things and it causes you to mess up and it causes even more damage. Yeah, now the score is 4-2 to the top of the fourth, still two outs, but it's a 1-2 count.
And they are going to get out of it. Ground ball to shortstop and a little throw over to second base.
The runner tripped over second base. Sorry.
So, yeah, big, you know, that inning could have been a lot worse for the Colonials. And, you know, I think that was good. Madison Riggle, you know, was able to get out of it. I mean, she could have, you know, panicked. The Colonials could have panicked. And it could have been a tie game right now, but it's not. And I think that's, you know, this is a big, you know, it's like good to see this team, you know, progressing in terms of that and maturing a little bit. And hopefully, I think it's a big game if they can get out of this with the win, especially the first win, you know, 7-6, you know, could, like earlier in like non-conference play, the Colonials would panic, give it up in the seventh inning, and they lose. So now they're at home. They defend their home territory in their first game at home at the North Athletic Complex. I think it's, you know, you also have last ups, too, which is, you know, different that they just didn't have all the time in conference, non-conference play and tournaments. So to me, this is a big, you know, like I see this team maturing and I like it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, like being able not to panic and getting out of the jams. It shows a really good sign of maturity and just shows how the Colonials will deal with more situations, especially as our most stressful, like, I consider the most stressful situation when you're up by one, it's a bases loaded, two outs, and a 3-2 count. That's the most stressful situation for me.
Yeah.
But being able to get out of the little situations where it's like bases loaded and you just get the normal ground out, you guard to home, or you get a double play going to second to first, like those are the plays you think about, but also not be like thinking about what this can happen, what this can happen, what this can happen.
Mm-hmm. But take it one day at a time.
I mean, the sitting the Colonials need to come back with the same mindset that take the pitches that aren't in your zone, foul the ones that you don't like that are in the zone, but not necessarily your pitch. And I mean, that's the best mentality you would want. And Brianna Bunner got on first base. No idea how she, but she got on first somehow. That's a great thing. She seems to be a very much of a spark plug for this team. She's the leadoff batter, and things seem to go good when she gets on base, especially after being out for a couple weeks with her ankle. But that's a good sign, because she is a big thing. Being between her and LaRusso, those are one of the two biggest batters in the lineup. And what we just saw was LaRusso tried to bunner over to second, but missed that opportunity, which those are the ones you need to you need to get the butt down, especially like in a close-ish game. Like every pitch counts, and not every moment but every pitch and every bat counts, and just not kicking up your heels and being like, hey, we got a lead, we can survive another couple more innings. And unfortunately, that was LaRusso struck out swinging on a ball that was probably way out of the zone. Like I said before, swinging at good pitches, not swinging at junk. Because pitchers had a lot of good repertoires. I don't know what the same Bonaventure pitcher has in her toolbox. I mean, I imagine so little grounder to first base, moves over the runner, but now there's two outs and runner on second for Abrielle McCartney. I actually did a feature on her at the beginning of the semester. Very cool girl, very easy to talk to, and she just gave honest answers, and I appreciated that. But it comes down to, like, she's a junior. They're all, like, you have big junior, like, smaller junior class, small senior class, big sophomore class. Mm-hmm. Now, having to basically lead each other, that's a tall task. Let's see what's going. I mean, I'm very pleased with the Colonials have put out so far. I mean, fortunately, we're going to run out of time before this game's over, but we'll... Whoa, what happened there? Oh, big.
Nice solid hit.
Yeah, it was a liner. It was a...
And they may have kept that runner, Brianna Bunner, on third, but there was a bobble in the...
Well, actually, it went underneath her glove.
Field, yeah.
It went, the left fielder tried to come up gunning, and she took her eye off of it, and it went right underneath her glove, and... Went back another couple of feet.
That was a nice solid hit. She stayed back on it, and she sent it where she wanted it to, opposite field.
Yeah, and those are the good hits.
Again, maturity.
Yes.
I think. Especially from her, you expect that. Junior, I like to think she's the leader of one of the leaders of this team. Seniors, you know, Kristen Prey as well. But that's definitely a nice little something you should see from.
And those
junior
are the, and those are the next seniors. Like, you want to see that out of. The next, there's a line shot down the right field line this time. So, Colonials being able to use both sides of the field, not just being able to pull it to left field. They actually use right field also. But also just taking the pitches where they're pitched. Like, take the outside pitch to right field, take the inside pitches to left, and then just crush the ones that go over the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
looks like
they're gonna be making a pitching change.
Oh, yep, they are.
Which I imagined.
Yeah,
was coming soon.
It was coming soon. If she would have gotten out of the inning, I think they would have kept her in. But with it being 5-2 now,
seven hits given up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just got her numbered. I mean, solid on the Colonials part, and then seems like all the same Bonaventure players are like tying their shoes right now. But we'll see who comes out the pitch next. Really curious. I mean, first time like covering the game, because I haven't met the same Bonaventure team. Let's see who's going to be in the circle now. was with these last names? Brzezinski?
Brzezinski.
Thank you, Ian.
Brzezinski, yeah. Double Z's make it a little difficult.
Z's in between.
I've seen harder names.
Okay, so the one difference, I think, with this pitcher, like the first pitcher was a right-hander, I think. Or was she a lefty? Yeah, let me see if I can go back a little bit. Too far. Oh, no, they just went from a right-hander to another right-hander. I was going to say, if they went from a left-hander to a right-hander, that's a completely different look that they're getting because it comes on a totally different playing field. It moves differently, and it just has a different look to it because it's spinning the opposite direction. Yeah. But, I mean, we'll see with this pitcher. Like, you never know if they threw in a pitcher that had more heat than this pitcher. I mean, looks like I'm a little bit right. She looks a little bit slower, but she could have more spin to the ball and have more of the opponents with the sit back and really wait on the ball to get a good enough swing instead of being on the edge of their bat. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pitcher's not starting out too great. She's already, let's see what that last pitch was. I mean, she has a 1-1 count. It's not too bad. I thought it was going to be 2-0, but no. I mean, this is a good sign for the Colonials. It's still runners on second, first and second. And now she's got her cornered, and it's a 1-2 count. Now you either get her chasing, or you definitely try to get her chasing, because we need to get the inning, get it in the mindset, we need to move. Another foul ball. It looked good off the bat. I thought it was going to be a liner to the first baseman. The inning was over. Nope. It's just a regular foul ball. And as we sit here, like, looking at this game, and we all have our different opinions and what they need to improve on, but what seems to be going right, I like how they seem to trust each other. Like, looking at this game, I think they trust each other a lot more now. I don't know what changed over the past couple of games, either them just being, okay, we can do this, or just believing in themselves.
Or maybe reality clicked in and was like, hey, we need to step up our game. And
I would believe that. Like, really, like, it's that split second, like, okay, we're ready now. We can actually do this. Let's not fool around anymore.
Yeah.
Strikeout looking. So, we're virtually going to end this a little with the top of the fifth, but we'll stay tuned next week when we have about 4 games to go over. We will see you next week on Liner Left. I am Delen Poe.
I'm Leah Chocolis.
Ian Kiss.
We'll see you next week.